Woo! What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 151 of the podcast. On today's episode, we got my dad on here because he's out visiting. So we just did our Patreon event, had a blast seeing all of our like friends and internet friends and supporters. It was just a really awesome night. It was fucking insane. But yeah, we talk about that a little bit, and then I just tried to ask my dad a simple fucking question, and then I didn't really ever get an answer. He just tangent. But yes, thank you so much, everybody. This is a classic type episode because we used to do a bunch with my dad back in the day. When he was visiting, he said he really just wanted to do an episode with me. I'm like, let's go, dude. Sounds good to me. So we got him in here for like a fun classic one, me and him hanging out, smoking hash and talking about aliens. So hope you guys have a great day and enjoy this episode. I'm gonna go blow some glass and get back to it. Thanks, everybody.
Bolsheviks and the socialists and the communists didn't take over because it was real close, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, they, that's who, you know.
Man, last night was, or the other night was crazy though.
The other night?
The event, yeah.
You had a very eclectic group of people here.
I always feel like I didn't talk to people enough last.
You talk to everybody.
I was walking around and doing better. The year before, I was just standing at a table serving dabs. This year, I tried to like walk around, talk to people, like take some dabs on other people's rigs. And yeah, it was just...
When you do events like that, you might have 100 conversations. Mentally, there's no way you could remember all those.
No.
You know, you do all your things. And
I guess I always overthink shit, though, and I after the fact, you know, once you're reflecting on the event or the thing you did, and you're like, oh, wait, did I? I don't know.
You always second-guess yourself on
that.
Yeah. You know, you have to kind of go, okay, we're here, we're doing it, that's fine, you know.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't even get to try... all the flavors of hash that the companies brought and everything. I was just too busy running around. The couple dabs I did take weren't even, like, good dabs. They were, like, out of the 13-footer, which was miserable. I took, like, a hot dab out of the plasma piece. But I feel like that's how it goes when you're doing events. Like, everything feels, at least in my world, I'm always a little rushed. So I'm like not sitting there waiting for my temperature to be
you've
perfect.
You've got so many endorphins being released.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, you know, nullifies it as such. You know?
But it was cool to see a lot of the same faces I saw last year and stuff, and some new ones.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of people that couldn't make it last year were able to come this year, so I'm glad, like, some of the Patreon members were actually able to make it out the day in last year, but we definitely saw a lot of the same faces, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah, and it was great conversations, I think. You know what I mean? Raving
and the shenanigans. I saw other people doing big, crazy dabs. That was fun, but I wish I could have, like...
Your buddy.
I'm working the whole time, so it's like I'm not, like... partying as much, I guess.
Cormac was very entertaining because he, you know, setting up at the table, helping the people, doing the dabs, and I watched him for about a half hour or so, and he was doing really, really, really good. But all of a sudden, you see his eyes are getting a little more closed, and then, like, gale force winds started coming along, and he started waving back and forth, and I walked over and talked to him. Everybody's blowing the smoke right in his face, and he's just... That's why I didn't take any hits. I just carried a pen.
You didn't have to. Like the whole, it was so smoky. Like everyone was second high, and like the 13-footer. Like everyone, the first 90 minutes, first hour and a half, everyone like comes in the door, super excited. We had a line of like almost 70 people all the way down the sidewalk outside the building to in front of all the other businesses. Luckily, they were all closed, so we weren't fucking up anyone's business. But still, it was crazy to see that many people waiting outside. But then when everyone get in, everyone starts hitting the 13-footer, and all of a sudden I just start seeing people, like, dropping, like, flies. Like, and then by, like, about 8:30 or so, I was like, whoa, there's, like, a lot of people gone. We had 60 people left out of the 100 that were, like, coming through.
We're all heroes.
Yeah.
We can do it.
I didn't think people expected the 13-footer to, like, demolish them the way it did. But also, too, not many people are taking dabs at something. Like, usually they're ripping flour, and that's a little different.
Oh, yeah.
But the hash through it is a lot. And I think, I mean, I made it as a spectacle so people could come do that.
And it
that
was a spectacle.
Idea.
There was a lot of...
I got to clean that piece. It's going to be a whole thing.
There was a lot of body counts around.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, and like, we're going to mount that thing to the wall, basically like a big, like, rifle, basically, or like a catch, like when you'd mount a big fish on the wall. You know, some tacks there.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Just put bumpers, like ballards around it on the floor so nobody drives into it.
Yeah.
And just get those metal
clamps. No, I'm going to mount it up high on the wall, and I'm going to have, like, five of those bike rack rubber-coated hooks, and I'm going to just set it on those.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That way you can take it down and smoke it still.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just be, like, rest. It'll be up high. It'll be, like, 10 feet in the air so no one can touch it.
I think it was the group of people you had here, though, really, really respectful, though, too. You had a very aesthetic, such a diverse, eclectic group of people, and everybody just camaraderie and just...
Yeah.
It was real relaxed, very cool.
Yeah, it's cool because, like, some of the people here that were local, they were kind of, like, talking to each other, and they're like, oh, man, this is wild. Like, this is not, like, Colorado Springs, like, local people. This is, like, people from all over the country. Wow. Like, it's not just, like, it was very few people from Colorado Springs here. Like,
well, it's one part of your industry. There's so many people around this country that have the same mindsets. I mean, again, it's like when your mom and I were growing up, we'd go to, like, three-day events and, you know, up in the Adirondacks, and there'd be people coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, your second cousin, Kurt Hansen.
Yeah.
Organized bluegrass festivals all through New England in that, in the day, you know?
Yeah. I'm just excited people were able to make the trip all the way out here, because it's cool seeing, like, people investing their time and money to, like, come, like, hang out here and, like, smoke and see the glass.
It just shows the solidarity you have in the industry, especially these days. You need that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You need community because it's,
well,
it's,
I mean,
tough on everybody
these days. The internet's changing. Have you ever heard that dead internet theory? Have you heard of that?
No.
So it's like, I think that basically tech people talked about this in maybe 2007, 2009, somewhere in there. But I'm probably going to get it wrong, but the dead internet theory is basically the idea that at a certain point, the internet will be more AI and bots than actual humans.
Right.
So what will happen is you won't really know what's authentic or not, or what a human made or what wasn't. And so it'll become this thing where, like, almost humans will stop using it, and it will almost just be like this huge
computer talking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they theorize that that's the direction the internet's going right now because of the AI algorithms. It's actually pushing people away from using certain applications because they're just, like, over it. They're like, fuck this. Like,
well, one thing I have been noticing lately, you know, me watching history and stuff, I watch a lot on the Second World War, and the pictures they're using and the stuff they're using is being done by AI because it will not bring up a swastika, you know, that was the Nazis in World War II. It brings up the World War I symbol.
Oh, really?
The red, white, and black flag with the Iron Cross.
Yeah.
But
AI won't show that because of it.
What it shows is, and even in the, they'll do, like, the battle plans and all that for World War II, they will not have that insignia.
Yeah.
And you can see it, though. It's slow.
What's crazy is I'm seeing with people in your generation on, like, social media apps is these people will make these AI photos that are black and white of, like, oh, look at this famous giant shark someone caught in 1903 and, like, weird things like that. And they look pretty real, but then you look closer and you notice, like, the people's faces, maybe they have six or seven fingers, like, weird stuff in it, but, like, older folks aren't picking up on that. They're like, oh, this is a real picture. And then they're believing this. And this is what's happening on the internet, is there's so much, like, fake shit that people are like, oh, that's real. This happened. That in
you
about
have to remember
years,
when the internet started, my generation was, oh, you bring it, open up the encyclopedia. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So they took that mindset and put it right to the internet. Well, I open it up. That's the truth.
Yep.
And again, like I was telling you about propaganda in this country, and all sides do it, but they're using the format that was put together by a guy that elected a crazy little unit out there that killed 100 million people on the planet.
Yeah.
And you've got all my generation, Joseph Goebbels, that got Adolf elected.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say something to a human 10 times and you control the narrative, they will start believing it. You know,
yeah, it's
the sky is green. Oh, okay, you say so. You know, it's
say
like
it enough times, yeah.
And this, I got to tell you, they've used this for 30, 40 years, And because they knew they couldn't pull it on the World War II generation, because they sat there and listened to it.
Yeah.
And it took a whole new generation of people
that forgot about
that. They didn't know it. And if you control the narrative, you control the history. And again, they can say, oh, that person bad, this is good.
I mean, you guys dealt with, I mean, in World War II, not you, you weren't even around then, but World War II, they dealt with all sorts of weird propaganda, like the whole carrot thing being good for your eyes. Like, like strange propaganda that was coming from their own.
Oh, your vitamin D you have to have. You got, again, you got to think about people 100 years ago, they didn't have go to the vitamin store and get supplements. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
they're eating meat and vegetables that had everything they needed.
I mean, I grew up, and if you bought meat had a terrible reputation.
Yeah.
Okay? Unless you had a farm and you butchered that cow or whatever yourself, you knew where it was coming from, you cooked it right away.
Yeah.
But to go to a store and buy it, you cooked the level of hell out of it.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to get sick.
Well, like in McDonald's, have you seen that study at McDonald's? They found over 4,000 different DNA in one burger.
Oh, I can believe that.
Over 4,000 different cows in one burger.
Well, like, again, you start eating processed meat, and it's you know, it's back in the day when all those started, they were using a low grade of beef.
Yeah.
And they would alter it and, you know, do their thing with it, right?
Yeah.
And now they said, well, we want to control the whole thing, where it comes from and all this, and we're going to grow it and process it a certain way. And you eat, for me now, I eat a fast food burger, and it literally screws me on a digestive level.
Yeah.
And it almost...
That's just because you're fully grown up, though.
Oh, I'm not. Someday I'll grow up.
Yeah, no, you are.
Yeah, and
70 is fully grown.
And again, it's got all this stuff in it. They've added more and more and more. Your generation is growing up more exposed to it.
Well, I think
when you get to be my age, you're going to look back and go, hey, you know, that additive,
all those
may
different...
grow that third eye on your forehead.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's strange and bold. That all happened in the 90s, too, once the cigarette companies bought all the different, like, basically processed food companies.
Oh, yeah.
Because the cigarette sales started dipping even in the 90s, and they're like...
And what better group to control the group something addictive?
I'm saying they understand how addiction works, so that's their business model. So, like, what else is addictive? Like, processed food. We can put certain chemicals in there. But, I mean, that's like... I mean, what can you do?
They've been doing that
what
forever.
What can you do? They've been doing it forever.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
you know, it's fun to talk about it, but, you know.
And, like, a lot of people want to talk about a grand conspiracy where, like all these companies are trying to, like, depopulate this and that. And I'm like, I don't even think it's that complicated. I think that it's, like, as simple as, like, this is a great way for us to make money. And then they can, it's just like with the big pharmaceutical companies, like, I don't think they intentionally are trying to, like, kill a bunch of people. But I do think that they know that, if we made $11 billion off this drug and we only have to pay out $5 billion in lawsuits, then we still made money.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And that's what
that's
happened.
That's been a business model forever.
They can write off, like, basically knowing their drug's probably going to kill X amount of people, but they're going to be able to make this much and then pay out those lawsuits.
One thing started showing up in construction when China started mass producing all kinds of components needed construction was every... You buy 100 things, be prepared that 10% of them are going to be garbage.
Oh, like drywall screws.
Yeah. And the quality of. Like, yeah, drywall screws is a great, great description. When they first started using them, drywall screws wouldn't break off.
Yeah.
Now you use them with a screw gun, they snap.
If there's even an actual place to put the Phillips head in. Sometimes
And, you know... You know, drywall screws, they use black oxide and the heat treats and that.
Yeah.
It is junk metal.
Yeah.
But that's a lot that you see is, you know, on old vehicles. They'd have the shift, the three-speed on the cow.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s, and actually before, they started using this cheap white cast metal. Mm. And if you were banging through gears on the cow, snap right off in your hand.
Oh, shit.
Right?
That sounds super dangerous.
Your Uncle Matt, with one of my work fans, I mean, he did it 3 times in 6 months. I don't know. I thought he would fit the Le Mans or something.
So I finally had to take
it off the handle, cut a hole through the floor to one work truck, and put it on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... That's your Uncle Matt, though. That was.
So I don't know if I've talked to you about this. Do you think any of that UFO shit? Do you think it's us, or do you think there's actually aliens?
Oh no! The alien thing seems. It makes much more sense. If you look at the populations of the planet, and then you take a neural map of the brain, what do you got? You have all these pathways. If you take humans on the planet, we're on the edges and here, and there's direct routes.
Yeah.
There's so much of this. Well, okay, 90% of the ocean, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on in the Indian Ocean.
So you're saying you think it's us, then?
It could be. I've said this before. We're the worker bees.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more.
So, but you're not saying so. You're still on the fence. Here. It could be both then.
I don't think it's well. Here's my alien.
Okay. Thing. What? So, do you think what we're seeing as terrestrial people on this planet? Do you think what we're seeing is possibly just high technology that we're producing and don't know about?
I think that I still think something really dramatic happened here.
I know that. I'm saying.
Well, no. I'm but saying what I'm right saying now. Is that, again, I can't. I think that people were left. You know how we have the stories of Nephilim.
You're talking way early. I'm talking right now in 2024.
Well, let me get to that. Okay? Those groups, they were pushed off, but there was a group, a controlling group. Well, let me put it this way. There was there's a girl that mom met. She was born in Argentina. Her family has been there forever. So she is growing up about... with all the mythologies of South America about inner Earth.
Yeah.
And Antarctica. You know, we have the Graham Hancocks and that of now.
Yeah.
She's drawing on the native peoples from there, those cultures. And she teaches us. Mom goes to
South Jersey. Well, I hope you believe we came out of the Earth, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
But again, we're getting... We have people like Graham Hancock interpreting it for us now.
Yeah.
To get somebody is from a culture that has all that same
mythology. So do you think it's aliens or us that we're seeing in the sky right now?
Oh, I
the news is reporting on it. They're measuring them with military radar and different devices.
Well, I understand. What are they? You know, Admiral Byrd.
Yeah.
Right?
The Admiral Byrd thing is iffy, though. That one's kind of
his son added stuff afterwards, but you have to listen to the little bit he said beforehand.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
and I believe what he says. I know, yeah. But the only reason I ask is because, like, you know, even the day before 9/11, $2.3 trillion. That's not just for people's paychecks.
That's
like crazy.
Who was it? George W. Bush's vice president.
Cheney. I'm just saying, like, I know.
Cheney put forth just before 9/11, in the Defense Department, we have lost track of
$2.3 trillion.
But, and then we had 9/11.
All the money that's been spent, the trillions, is that, like, it's definitely not all, because it can't all be accounted for. So there's trillions missing still to this day that have been stacking up every year going missing. So what I'm saying is, if you don't think it's us, which I think is probably us, I feel like you're seeing the money. Like, you're seeing the investment. If we're catching things on radar, we might just be catching DARPA projects. Like,
again, C.S. Lewis wrote about, he had the series of three books.
Yeah.
You know, Out of the Silent Planet, The Hidden Danger. I forget the three names, but basically it's Mars, Earth, and Venus.
Yeah.
And Mars was an ancient planet. Earth was a middle planet. Venus is a young planet. I extrapolated that out. You look at Mars, it has the biggest canyon of any planet. You're going back to the aliens, possibly.
Yeah.
This is just me being stoned.
Yeah, but...
What if all three planets... were inhabited as such. And they talk, in the Book of the Dead, it talks about two planets, two destructions of the Earth, you know, Egyptian
Book of the Dead. Well, they talk about the cycle of our little solar system, and planets move in and out of the Goldilocks zone.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, like, right now, Earth...
precession on the Earth.
Right now, our planet's been in the Goldilocks zone for a while now.
Yeah.
So we've had time to develop all this life on it. But there was times when Venus was in the Goldilocks zone, Mars was in the Goldilocks zone, and Earth wasn't. Earth was like rocky and
was volcanic. Snowball.
Or a snowball.
Snowball Earth.
So my point is, I think planets, yeah, I think even on like a scale of like a cosmic scale, I think that's accurate. Even if it wasn't intelligent life there, these planets have had their moment in the sun, to say, you know, where they become in the Goldilocks zone where they can.
But see, this is what, you know, again, you're saying about aliens and that. What if we, as a group, have been here so long that we have to migrate from, this is just an idea.
Back and forth.
Back and forth between the planets and stuff. Yeah, like, you know?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't even.
And, you know, everybody talks just about precession, but our orbit around the sun is elliptical.
Yeah.
And then you take our planet and we're at, what's it, a 23 degree angle, I think it is, or 43 degree angle. And then you take that and the precession. Yeah. Wobble on that. So like you're saying, we're further away. And then they bring in Planet Nine, yeah. Nibiru, you know, all that. And they're still pushing for that.
Yeah, but that whole thing, too, is also just to explain, like, weird, like, orbits that we've, like, that they're, like, recording. There's, like, there has to be something big enough out there to move us.
You know, James Webb, too, is just, yeah. That whole thing is, again, they try to make definite statements. Okay, this is the new orthodoxy, and then next week they go, oh, excuse us.
Yeah.
Something didn't quite work out, you know?
See, my thing is, like, I think it's, like, always been us. Like, I think it's always just been, like, humans. And, like,
a human form.
And I think, like, some of this technology we might be seeing, it might not even be, like, anyone visiting. We might be just, like, little fish in a pond next to a highway, and we're seeing cars go by. Like, and we're... Like, we may just be witnessing a side effect of travel. Like, we, like, when you're, because what they see is they see these things moving and then blinking. And we're like, but if you're in the third or fourth dimension, maybe what you're witnessing while these things are moving, you're just seeing, like, the flashes or pieces of something moving. You're not seeing the whole thing because, like, when a fish is in a pond, a car goes by, creates a little breeze. They see the reflection of the car on the water moves, so it seems physical, but all it was a reflection in the moving of the
water. What,
the
you car. Know, we, all, like, all religions are more immortals, you know, and all that. Like, what you're saying is, you know, these people are on a different level. They can come back and forth dimensionally, okay?
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's it's just us
saying,
in the future.
This is why I say that I feel we humans are like the worker bees. We have this short time, and as we have a collective memory over hundreds of years, we're starting to get these little glimpses of yeah. What was, because we're only using 8 to 10% of our brain.
Yeah.
So the rest of it's just kind of hanging out there. It's like, okay, you can program this biological unit to do ABC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, right, I mean, there's all these blank computers.
Yeah, and you know. We're watching what's happening with genetic studies, right? We've just gone through a huge genetic program here, you know, that lasted a couple of years. And we're seeing the repercussions from that,
yeah.
You know? I mean, and again, you know, people, they have ethics. They would never. Yeah, okay. You know, I grew up in this generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's just, that's like, I really do think that, like, if there is some sort of profound advanced technology or race, I really think it's just us. It's just us in the future or us now. Like, I don't
know if the future thing, because the idea, the concept of time, again, you have to, you know, they do the different civilization level. There's no way we could be on that level ever. We are tied to going, you know, Type 1, Type 2. We're like a Type -0 civilization.
We're not even close.
And I don't think physically that we could do that.
You don't have to. That's what technology's for. You use avatars.
Yeah, but then that's not you.
But that's the whole idea with most of, like, the great aliens, is that they are actually just biological avatars. They're not real. They're biological robots that are being...
Oh, they're programmed. There's biological.
There's someone, a human on another planet.
And you just said that, biological robots. So what are we? We're just biological machines that they...
But we're programmed for this atmosphere. What I'm saying is, like...
We breathe the material, oxygen, that dissolves.
So why couldn't you go everywhere then? All you do is make...
Well, they would just find another place that has some form of life form and program that to do what they need to do in that
planet. Oh, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, the idea that, like...
I don't think humans, I don't think we as human beings, the animals, are across the universe. I think the brain pan, the brain, that consciousness is what goes across the universe. We, you know, there's a vessel here.
I definitely think there's more humans out there. I just think they may be look a little slightly different, but they're
There's a certain vehicle they look for.
Yeah.
Or whoever they is. Or whoever that consciousness is.
Yeah.
Because, every world religion talks about this consciousness in one form or another.
Yeah, I think I look at consciousness just like a wave. Like, in every individual person, there's...
That you could be that. It could be a wave of some sort. And again, in all religions...
Well, you know, when you like
we little robots here, we, you know, for us to comprehend, we can get a glimpse of, you know, and again, that's why you end up in all these big places where our humans have to go in to get the answers.
Yeah.
And they're, and, you know, instead of looking in towards
yourself. I think that's technology we're using improperly, honestly. Most churches and temples, I think that they had a real physical purpose. I think singing certain things, you'd hit certain notes.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And with enough people at a certain note, you'd literally heal each other. Like, I think there was actual physical return people
got.
If
you set up a whole situation, like Christmas time, singing carols and all that, it releases this, all those type of endorphins. Oh, you know? I mean, which is great. It gives humans need hope. We need to.
Well, I think take care that's of more homes. Of an that's more of like an emotional mental thing. I'm talking about like
it's
physically. I think thousands of years ago, people knew how to work together using sound and certain vibration to literally like heal or take care of like free radical cells that maybe become
then
cancer.
Then something scattered. And everybody. Something happened.
And then we forgot, but we still had parts of the technology. Like nowadays, if everyone still like
the temple, the story of Gilgamesh writes about hit. Again, that was like 2,000 years before.
Well, real quick, let me finish what I was saying.
Okay, sorry.
If everyone forgot how cell phones worked, but we all still had them, and then everyone's like, oh, it's a cool mirror, and if you hit this button, like a light, and you can see at night. And we're like, this is amazing. We love this technology. But we didn't realize that you could use it to make calls around the world to each other. That's what I think is happening with most of this technology left over from thousands of years ago, is that we go, oh, we like to go in there and sing. And it's like, yeah, but you have to sing at this pitch, this frequency. And if you all hit, if this many people at this frequency, you start actually healing.
Think about the carvings you see of Gilgamesh carrying the purse. And then you go back to Gobetepe, and they're going, holy crap, there it is too. And then you start seeing it, Mesoamerica carvings. You see it around the world, all these carvings of the ancients carrying this purse.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, could have this been technology left or given to try to...
No, I'm just saying as simple as like when people are going to church or people are singing certain things or maybe people are doing certain types of yoga. They're doing all these things and maybe we have like the technology and I found a way to use it modern, but we don't... There's actually an actual function.
We only know so... I don't think mentally we're capable to tap into that because... Again, we have not figured out a way to open our brain capacity. We're trying to.
So you say we never were able to?
I don't think that we are able to. I don't. Again, my worker
bee.
You
don't
think we forgot? As I've gotten older, I'm watching humans.
You don't
and
think
they
we ate
see,
too much red 40, so our pineal gland's too small now, so we can't tap into it?
I think we can only reach a certain level. Again, if we could reach this type of consciousness, we wouldn't be going through all this silliness around the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like we've gotten to this point and like, okay, do not blow each other up. That's bad. We've talked this before. What if we took all the money you're spending to figure out ways to kill one another and took that and put that to the brain trust to better mankind? I mean, think about all that.
That's only possible if that makes more money than killing.
Ah.
So really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's like whatever's the highest profit.
And what's making more money? I want our empire to be the best guys. We want the biggest temple, the biggest building.
All right, so you don't think it's aliens then? You think, or you do? See, I said that
no,
answer.
Again, the alien thing is silly.
Okay, so what are you seeing in the sky?
I think you
what
have...
What are they measuring? What are they seeing?
What are they seeing?
Yeah, what's it?
It could be humans.
Yeah.
But the term human, again, it's when I watch people genetically engineer things. Food.
Have you heard anything about Russia and Area 51 and that whole, like, how that was like a stage thing that Russia did? Have you heard any of that yet? Rogan had a lady on in the last year or so. I want to re-listen to it, but I think her name was like Abby something, but she
Abby Normal.
Yeah, I know. She talked about this whole thing where like basically the Russians after World War II, and this is horrific, but they literally took disabled children and did body modification to them, and then they crashed a ship in New Mexico on purpose, that's where the bodies. It's all these things. It's like
where did that come from, though?
From Russia. So from
where did the story? That's where you got. That's
okay. Yeah. That's what this lady did. She did a deep dive. She found like all these secret programs in Russia to basically start hoaxes in America to
destabilize. Remember, propaganda's out there to take you off the path.
So, but
the genetic aspect.
But everything's propaganda.
Joseph Mengele. I mean, what the kicker is,
I'm just saying, so you haven't heard about that. So if you look into it, it's pretty interesting, though, because the dates on, like, some of the information being pre, like, Roswell, like, about this plan to basically hoax, because...
No, it's interesting. If you look about the writers, like H.G. Wells and Jules Verne...
Yeah.
There was a book of stories of the United States, and it was from... late 1700s and 1800s of all sightings and weird stories of the United States. Everything you're talking about is in there.
Yeah.
About space. Cigar-shaped images.
Yeah.
The place in Texas where they supposedly had crashed and they buried one of the alien bodies and they had to take away where the cemetery or the grave was of this unit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean... this has been going on a while, and it seems up until the end of the 80s, the last 30 years, this weird narrative. Too many people seen too many things. They got to get a narrative out of there to control the narrative. And you can't have a highly educated public, and the highly educated ones you want to control.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, again... we're just silly humans speculating on
the whole like alien and spacecraft retrieval and technology retrieval, that whole thing, like that supposedly is what sparked the relationship between like Italy and Germany after World War I.
Yeah.
Was like a crash that happened in Italy in the 1930s, and then they contacted Germany because they're like, these are the people who have technology around the world, and it's the Germans. Contacted them and said, is this yours? Like, what is this? And the Germans said, no, but we would like to come see it. And then they came down and the Germans took it in the 1930s. And they were like, okay, we're going to work together on this. Those were some of the early seeds of like building these relationships like through technology.
Any group of people to figure out metallurgy, working with metals, the Germans, since metallurgy, even the Romans were in awe of the steels that they made. You know? And they were known for that. And World War II, the first jets... you know, to build a jet engine, to sit there and the amount of heat, I mean, that takes a little bit of knowledge,
For sure.
I mean, it's...
it's just interesting. And I mean, like, I've been watching, you guys, anyone watching this, you should really check out the Y-Files. It's really fun. He does a really good job at, like, deep diving. And then, like, debunking and also showing where...
He doesn't take a side, though.
No, that's why it's fun, because you can kind of just enjoy it and make your own whatever you think about it. But, like, he's been doing a lot lately just on, like, DARPA and the different CIA programs and stuff. And it's just, like, it's crazy to see, like...
they want to put as much information out there because I still have this... for me, I don't know if it's old age, but it is not apocalyptic. It's just, you know, that term, the stars align.
Yeah.
You get a feeling. Much information.
I'm just saying it's crazy the technology that in the last 100 years it's been developed, and we've maybe used like 2% of it. There's like 98% of the technology has been shelved, and like
your great grandmother,
like in the 1950s, what the National Secrecy Act, which is real. I've been learning a lot about that lately. That's
super interesting. Yeah, they went after everybody and anyone.
Anyone that had high technology, they were like. I mean, that's why they originally started DARPA too, which it used to be called ARPA. But then they added the D to make it a defense.
Yeah.
So it became DARPA. But they originally started that after World War II because the Americans and the rest of the world were so shocked by what the Germans had and the technology that the goal of DARPA was to never be shocked by high technology again. So DARPA became this thing like, we need to develop the most high technology so we're never shocked next time we go into war and we see some shit, we're not like, where the fuck did they get that? We're like, so...
If you look at the country Israel...
Yeah.
You know that movie, World War Z?
Yeah.
And they talk about the 10th man?
Yeah.
If everybody agrees on one thing, the 10th guy goes, okay, I'm going to be outside the box.
Yeah.
Right? And that idea is real.
Yeah.
So you don't think countries like the United States, the former Soviet Union, China, France, all
they're all
they have all picked.
Yeah.
The United Kingdom. They have the stories of what happened there after World War II because they had nuke bases there and this happened in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. Again, mom and I, her 25th birthday on Lake Ontario, I've seen two things. Her 25th birthday, I was Sandy Pond, the three nuke plants.
Yeah.
About 2 o'clock in the morning, you look out over Lake Ontario and all of a sudden, there's a light. It's not on the water, it's above the water, and it just sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there. I'm going, you know, in your mind's eye, you're going to say, you want to rationalize it, oh, it's got to be a helicopter.
Yeah.
But a helicopter over Lake Ontario on a windless night, that sound will radiate out. You'll hear it.
Definitely.
Didn't hear anything.
If you can see the light, you'll hear it too. I mean.
Then being up at Charlie's house.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, the sun is just going down, the sky is still lit up with, the sun and that. I was picking up mom. I'm sitting on their back deck. I look up and there's the moon. All of a sudden you see one orb come here, one orb come here. I go, hey, Deb, look up. She turns around. She sees them. Then blink, they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, you know me. I got to really see something.
And can you imagine what people saw thousands of years ago before light pollution?
Well, they made all kinds of stuff.
It must have looked like a super highway up there. I've seen all the things flying around.
Up at Cripple Creek,
yeah,
that's what I did up there the whole time. I sat out there late at night because you're so far up and there's nothing in the sky. You can see satellites go over, but, again, when I was growing up too, you guys have all this diversion with technology, TVs and that. I mean, I always used to say, we had 2 TV stations.
Yeah.
Lawrence Welk wasn't a great thing to watch, for me at least. And, you'd sit outside and just stargaze and the things you saw. I mean, when I was 8 years old, talking about seeing things, I told you about over Baldwinsville. It was a fall night and outside, and it's still, the sky's a little bit blue, but the sun's going down. And crossed the sky, and it was as big as could be. The fire and smoke come out. It didn't look like what I thought a meteor would look like.
Yeah.
It was black smoke coming off it. And they found pieces over Jordan and went across Baldwinsville.
Too low.
And I remember coming home, telling everybody in my house, oh, no. Next day, it was in the Herald Journal. And do you think I can find that any place now?
No.
I've gone to the Herald Journal, try to find the information. There is nothing. And I've tried all these different routes. And they had pictures of it. And they just kiboshed it.
Got rid of it.
It just disappeared.
Well, that's...
And again,
that was part of Project Bluebeam, too, was to...
Well, you have to remember, upstate New York was... You had nuclear silos all across upstate New York. You had Griffiths Air Force Base was a SAC base for B-52s.
Yeah.
You have all over the West now and then, I mean, remember you were looking at one of those silos up in the Adirondacks?
Yeah.
They were selling? I mean, it would be a cool house.
It would be, yeah.
Wintertime would be kind of a bitch. Getting things out if you had a studio.
Yeah.
But silo, it would be a pisser.
Silo would be crazy. Yeah, but it'd probably be really expensive to maintain.
Yeah, I think the electrical would be a dollar or two, especially in New York State. Yeah,
the expense.
And here's your bill.
Yeah.
$10,000 a month.
I don't know. Like, I'm really interested to see, what my daughter's going to see in her lifetime as far as, technology and as far as, our awareness of our place in this little solar system we live in.
They started saying back in the 60s, they made songs, it's the age of Aquarius. They did the same thing when the last age ended, the age of Pisces to this age, okay? And the 1,000 years going there, everything was apocalyptic and that. That was controlling. You had groups just trying to control through ignorance.
Yeah.
It's different now. They've tried to keep people ignorant for the last 30 years, but something there's too many people. There's too much out there. And yeah. There's going. I feel a lot of things are going to be revealed.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to see it in my lifetime because, you know, you've got too many people sprouting too much ignorance, and there's too many people going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're, you know, your concept is great, but we want to know what the truth is. We're, you know, we can't just blindly believe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
have you seen anything about this, like, new discovery about the Milky Way and, like, what, like, where we are in it? And, like, right. We're actually, like, when you're looking at that, like, what the Mayans would call it, like, the womb of the universe, right. Like, where stars are birthed, that, like, the actual, like, constellation that we can see from the yeah. sky right there. Supposedly, where Earth is and our, like, little solar system, we're actually a smaller galaxy crashing into the Milky Way. And the Milky Way...
Well, they said that.
Like,
that's
we're
where
actually
we are. The remnants of.
Yeah, so what we're actually in is, like, we're, like, two galaxies blended together, and the next one we're going to hit Andromeda in 2 billion years.
Right.
But, which is for a pretty fucking long time. But, so we're good. But either way, like, we've always thought that we were just, like, one thing floating through, but we're actually a mashup. So I wonder if, like, that might be why life has sprouted up on this planet, too, is that this special thing happened when two different,
maybe four billion, five billion years ago.
Crashed together. And maybe that's when Mars got destroyed.
Mars is being... how planets in that. I agree with all that science. Yeah. We can get the basic science on how two certain things happen.
Yeah.
It's taking it to that next level of having, it's like having fire in a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, all right, I know the fire, I put that on there. Why does that do that?
Yeah.
We're still like at that level.
Yeah.
You know, to take it to that next level of going.
We still, most of these things that we figure out, especially with like math and then also in space, we have to add a lot. We have to make up a lot of stuff to add to it.
Assumptions.
Like, dark energy and all this.
Well,
like
Albert Einstein,
like,
again, you get orthodoxy in science, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Because science is not a constant.
Change. Orthodoxy doesn't like when things change.
Right.
So
whether it
be
anthropology, archaeology, religion, any of it. The idea of science is, okay, that's a great idea. How can we work on that? Because we know that that is partially true, but there's a lot of unknowns that belong to this that could take us to this next level.
Yeah.
And that's the problem right now. You can see it in this, in everything, actually.
Yeah.
We want to keep everything the same because we're content. It's like the guy
that goes to the bar and has the beer
every day.
This also goes back to, you know, people being really old in government, too, is that...
Oh, yeah.
Is that you won't have profound changes in culture if the same people are running things for generations.
You know, what's amazing to me is when I was growing up, you could be drafted at 18, fight in the war, but you couldn't vote till you're 21.
So you can't.
Well, here's the other side of it. I mean, if they're telling you you can't do your job anymore, you have to retire at 65. Okay, I've got no problem with that. It should go to everything.
Yeah.
I don't care. And, like, the idea, everybody goes, oh, old people should take the driver's test every 5 years. I think everybody should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not just old people. I agree 100%.
Make sure you're good.
I would like to have people have the L&R painted on their back hands and understand what a blinker is. But, you know.
No, consistency across the board probably would help
a lot. Yeah. But, again, we're silly little animals running around, and until something comes along and kicks that out of everybody's head and goes, okay, it's time to put your childhood things away, and let's become adolescents.
So
you know?
As humans, for basically the last, like, 6,000-7,000 years, we've been kind of doing the same thing. We build up to a certain point, then collapse. Build up to a certain point.
You have to go, what were they doing there?
I'm just saying, generally speaking. So we've been doing that. And then if you go back even farther, like Göbekli Tepe and all that stuff, we don't really know what those people were doing. So my point is, if a great cataclysm did happen and there was all this technology and we forgot how to use it, and then we find things like, you know, the pyramids of Giza, all that stuff, and we start...
Why did Göbekli Tepe bury itself? They saw something coming.
I mean, I'm not worried about that. That's not my point.
I know it's not your point.
You're just dropping in. I love it. I love it. But my point is that, like, you were saying that you don't think that we were ever to, like, this, like, point where we could be at that high level. I'm like, what if everyone forgot how to use the technology we have? There's these giant buildings left over all over this planet. Like, what if we forgot how to use all this stuff?
And again, I go back to the worker bee thing.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you look at the carvings. Like,
so maybe we never knew how to use it personally, but we were told to by the people.
And we had overseers.
And the overseers told us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And of the group of humans they have, okay, there, Fred, you're really good at doing this piece of stone cutting. You're going to have a group of 20 guys.
Yeah.
Then he has a, oh, wow, I'm the best at this. And then those 20 guys, and all of a sudden, he starts building the tribe.
So trainable, but if we all get wiped out and we don't have overseers to reteach us, then we don't have the ability to use the technology.
And then we go back to the cave.
So I'm fine with that. So that means that we did, at a certain point, know how to use all the technology.
Wouldn't that go along with the little bits they tell you that, oh, we were in caves 8,000 years ago? Okay, well,
it probably took us 4,000 years to recover from
because if we didn't know how to, right? Because we were just the worker bees. And doesn't that say that in the stories?
Yeah.
We helped all the giants, you know, build their buildings and all that, all the megaliths around the planet, right? And, I mean, you go to, like, the Peru, and you have, you know, I can't say the name of the fortress, but that looks like they've morphed the rocks together. And then the Incas.
That's a woman.
Yeah. And then you have these massive stones that are just like they're melted together. Then the Incas build on top, and there's a little stone.
The stone's
really nice, but like a lot smaller.
Yeah, there's like three different ages of like the Incan civilization. And the oldest is so much more tech. They don't even know how they did it.
Like, again, that's exactly right. Oh, yeah, we're so much more advanced than them. Excuse me. See those stones that came first? Then these? That looks like that's a lot more together.
The technology goes further and further down here at hill every, like, you know,
that,
3,000 or 4,000 years.
The disc they found in Egypt that looks like a piece of metal, you know?
Well, it looks like a propeller almost. It
looks like
schist disc or something like that?
Yeah. You know what schist is? I mean,
there's a guy that developed a little piece of equipment with that in it, and he had it into, like, basically, it was like a type in a water pump, essentially.
Yeah.
Like a thing that would spin inside of like a carved out piece of stone, and it would help propel the water through the system faster. Like, it was like.
Well, that's, again, they know there's something under the Giza Plateau. Chambers, all this. They also know.
Well, yeah, it was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world.
Yeah, there was a hydraulic system. There's hydro. You do not build these huge populaces without the hydraulics of pulling water away. I mean, they know the Mayans did this.
Yeah.
Something came along. We lost this.
Well, we have stories from the Greeks that about the actual labyrinth. In Giza, like around like the Great Pyramids.
Well, and the Mycenaeans, Kronos, where.
But the labyrinth they talk about, this is one of the ancient wonders of the world because like people went there and it was like what they describe sounds a lot like those giant salt mines in Romania, like how big and carved out, like cathedral like these, this was underneath these like pyramids. Like, so like the real big structure is under the sand, but if you look at the three great pyramids, they're like on top of.
And then you sit there and. Again, the cave systems, Central America, the cave systems are insane.
Yeah.
You raise the water level up 400 feet, all those cave systems flood.
Yeah.
And no access. Right here, where you guys are, there are cave systems that are flooded that I have found, and, you know.
Yeah, in the mountains, right, where, you know, where the
mountain. Devil's Den by us.
Yeah.
People do cave diving there. I've been down in there in the Sino, and it's very bizarre to be in there, and you see people 50 feet down going to cave openings, and they can go miles underneath Florida. Florida is just covered with these.
I was watching this documentary. It was very short. It was only about 18 minutes, but it was about this cave that's like not new, but it's being more looked at now because we have more technology where we can safely look at it. But it's in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 7,300 foot deep.
Oh, yeah.
And like it's like... crazy. It's like,
Georgia has, again, the mound builders.
Yeah.
Right? They call it the Mississippian culture.
Joe, no, I think Georgia, like the country, not the
state. Oh, Georgia on the Black Sea.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about Georgia, United States.
Uh-huh.
There's 300 sites that have mounds and structures and everything. You know, on just the other side of the town I live in are mound structures.
Yeah.
And there's an island called Butler Island. There's a certain alignment the Mayans use with their temples. Well, they've said all along, oh, no, 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 this wasn't influenced by that. Well, Butler Island, somebody took a drone, went over it, lanced, you know, a LIDAR, the one mound, the certain size, and it's how it's laid out, there it is. But they won't let you go on that island.
See, I really do think that, like, just like we maybe have only discovered maybe 7 to 10% of the oceans, which not even that probably, I feel like it's the same thing with the cultures of America and South America. We don't even know the tip. We see some leftover things, but there's those cultures, I think they were so much more vast and huge than, like,
That, you know, when the first Europeans came to South America, to Brazil, what'd they write about? Massive cities, all these populous.
And then 100 years later when they came back.
Go, oh, virgin gone. Forest.
It was all gone. Well, because the forest took
somebody
a bath.
Sneezed.
Yeah, someone sneezed.
Hey, Fred, you got a cold. I'm sorry, folks. You know?
Literally, within 100 years, though, like,
they were gone.
Everyone's gone, and these forests took back these giant cities. And, like, it's crazy.
And they were using the materials they had there. Yeah. They used wood, and they were constantly, they had craftsmen sections of their societies that maintained and kept everything. You wipe everybody off, and what do you got left? People in remote parts of the Amazon that want nothing to do with the way you look. They will kill you.
Yeah.
Because in their mythology, they remember.
Yep.
These creatures did this to us.
Yeah, 100 years ago,
we
died.
Don't want them anywhere near us.
Yeah.
And I mean, off of Papua New Guinea,
there's
island groups there that people, these islands are off limits. They will kill you.
Oh, North Sentinel, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's
that's crazy. Like, there's,
if
like,
you would sit there and stop trying to shift history to your culture and work it in with your culture instead of just taking them as an individual thing and say, okay, what common thread do we have here?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got 200 religions around the planet, and there are certain threads. The flood story, it's a fact. All of them, there is a flood myth.
Yeah.
If you go through what the Anunnaki and Gilgamesh wrote, the names of Adam and Eve are derivatives from two names that are there. And then you start doing Adam and Eve, the concept of them, and you start going to these other religions, you go, wait a minute, these are the exact same stories.
Oh yeah, Zionism, they're the exact same story as like the Bible pretty much, with the Ark and like other
yeah,
things.
Gilgamesh, it was these round, they were like round boats instead of an Ark.
Yeah.
An ark is something that was
But there's all different stories.
Okay,
of
the ark,
arcs and all these
the Ark of the Covenant.
I'm talking
Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
I'm talking like older than that though. Like,
oh yeah.
Because in the Zionism religion they actually have like an ark. Like we're talking pre Abrahamic stuff. Like that's where the stories they got their stuff from the Mesopotamians. Like
where did the Mesopotamians get it from? And where did the Mayans, where did the Pueblos,
that's why maybe a long time ago everything was connected, because there was a common...
And there's a story in all religions about, again, I relate to Christianity, that's how I was brought up. The Tower of Babel. And what happened there, man got so cocky, he was going to build a tower so he could be equal to God, and something dramatic happened.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, I'm going to scatter you to the four corners of the earth, and you won't know anything. And they've always projected it as, all of a sudden, people can't talk to one another.
Yeah.
Well, here's another way to do it. Have something dramatic happen on the planet that wipes it out, polar shift. I mean,
people forget.
And if people are ignorant, they're not going to want to hear some scientific term. Oh, really sorry, Fred, the earth got destroyed. You know, what's left over, you're going to pass down, there's going to be stories.
Well, shit, all I was trying to figure out is if you think it's aliens or us.
Nope.
But there we go.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm starting to find they run certain narratives that they want to, like, push you off the path.
Yeah, well, we went off the path for sure.
If you looked at History Channel.
Yeah.
You got that guy who always talks about ancient aliens.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bankable thing now. That's why I take very little stock, because again, they're doing the Joseph Campbell thing. Say something 10 times and we'll make people believe it.
Yeah, season one was sick. After that, it gets kind of out of control.
It's redundant. It gets really weird. But that's what you got to do. You got to pack. Yeah. You got to make it better.
Well, shit. This was fun. We did it.
We did it.
We did an hour. That's it. That's
Rated Ron about senseless shit.
Yeah, it happened. It happened.
If they would just listen to us.
It was fun. And yeah, guys, don't forget to check out BMSclass.com. We have a Sunday sale coming up at the end of this month. I don't know the exact day yet, but lots of fun stuff happening in July. I'm excited to post and share with you guys. Hope you have an awesome day. Thank you, Dad, for hanging out.
Hasta la bye-bye.
And have a great day,
everybody. Hey, I want to say one shout-out, though. I met a really good guy in Tampa Airport. Chico Perez. The guy was very honorable. He knows certain biker groups of mine. But anyways.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Chico Perez, shout out.
There you go.
Guys, have a great day, everybody. Thank you.